The ruling faculty, your reason, does not disturb itself. I mean, it does not frighten itself or cause itself pain. If anyone else can frighten or cause it pain, let him do so. But for the faculty itself, it will not by its own judgment turn to such ways. Let the body itself take care, if it can, that it suffer nothing. Let the sensual soul, that which is subject to fear, to pain, speak if it suffers. But that which has completely the power of forming a judgment about these things will suffer nothing, and it will never of itself be driven into a judgment. The leading principle in itself wants nothing, unless it makes a want for itself, and therefore it is both free from perturbation and unimpeded, unless it disturb and impede itself. Eudaimonia, or happiness, is a good guardian spirit, a good thing. What then, my imagination, are you doing here? Go away, I entreat you by the gods, take the way you came by, I do not want you. Here you are, come according to your usual fashion. I am not angry with you, only go away. You are afraid of change? Why? What can take place without change? What then is more pleasing or more suitable to universal nature? And can you take a bath unless the wood undergoes a change? And can you be nourished unless the food undergoes a change? And can anything else that is useful be accomplished without change? Do you not see then that for yourself also, to change is just the same, and equally necessary for the nature of the universe? Through the universal substance, as through a furious torrent, all bodies are carried, being by their nature united with and cooperating with the whole, as the parts of our body do with one another. How many a Chrysippus, how many a Socrates, how many an Epictetus, has time already swallowed up? And let the same thought arise in you with reference to every man and thing. One thing only troubles me, lest I should do something which the constitution of humanity does not allow, or in a way which it does not allow, or something that it does not allow at present. Fast approaching is the time when you will have forgotten all things. Fast approaching is the time when all things will have forgotten you. It is natural for us to love even those who do wrong, and this happens, if when they do wrong it occurs to us that they are kindred of the family of mankind, and that they do wrong unintentionally, through ignorance, and that soon both of us will die, and above all that the wrongdoer has done us no harm, for he has not made our ruling faculty worse than it was before. Universal nature employs the substance of the universe as if it were wax, now moulding a horse, and when it has broken this up, employing the same material for a tree, then for a man, then for something else. And each of these things subsists for a very short time. But it is no hardship for a vessel to be broken up, just as there was none in its being fastened together. A scowling look is altogether unnatural. When it is often assumed, the result is that all comeliness dies away, and at last is so completely extinguished that it cannot be again lighted up at all. Try to conclude from this very fact that such an expression is contrary to reason. If even the perception of doing wrong shall depart, what reason is there for living any longer? Nature, which governs the whole, will soon change all things that you see, and out of their substance will make other things, and again other things from the substance of them, in order that the world may be ever new. When a man has done you any wrong, immediately consider what idea of good or evil has brought him to do wrong. When you have seen this, you will pity him and will neither wonder nor be angry. Either you yourself think the same thing to be good that he does, or at least something similar, in which case it is your duty to pardon him. Or if you do not think such things to be good or evil, you will more readily be well disposed to one who is in error. Think not so much of what you do not have as of what you do have, and of these things which you do have, select the best, and then reflect how eagerly they would have been sought if you had not had them. At the same time, however, take care that you do not, through being so pleased with them, accustom yourself to overvalue them, so as to be disturbed if ever you should not have them. Retire into yourself. The rational principle which rules has this nature, that it is content with itself when it does what is just, and so secures tranquillity. Wipe out the fantasizing imagination. Stop the pulling of the strings from idle impulses. Confine yourself to the present. Understand well what is happening, either to you or to another. Distinguish between the causal and the material nature of the event. Think of your last hour. Let the wrong which is done by someone stay there where the wrong was done. Direct your attention to what is said. Let your understanding enter into the things that are being done and who are doing them. Delight in simplicity and modesty and in being indifferent towards the things that lie between virtue and vice. Love mankind. Follow God. Democritus says, "All else is subject to the law of convention. Only the elements are absolute and real. But for you it is sufficient to remember that law rules all." About death. Whether it is a dispersion or a resolution into atoms or annihilation, it is either extinction or change. About pain. The pain which is intolerable carries us off, but that which lasts a long time is tolerable, and the mind maintains its own tranquillity by retiring into itself, and the ruling faculty, your reasoning mind, is not itself damaged by pain. As for the parts which are harmed by pain, let them offer their opinion about it if they can. About fame. Look at the minds of those who seek fame. Observe what they are, and what kind of things they avoid, and what kind of things they pursue. And consider that just as drifts of sand piled on one another hide earlier drifts of sand, so in one's life the events which go before are soon covered by those which come after.